discuss for a couple of minutes Heter Iska. Yes, I want to go over the mechanics of Heter Iska, how it works. We mentioned yesterday that according to some opinions, if a person borrows money with interest, if I borrow money and I promise to pay back more money, you're over on the Isur Derais of Ribbis, if you have a Heter, you have a Heter Iska, a document called the Heter Iska, you are still in violation if you do not understand the mechanics of how Heter Iska works. It's a chiddush, an incredible chiddush to say such a thing, but he cites different places. I think the Chelkas Binyam, you know that, the Binyam called the young guy over here, he wrote a sefer on Ribbis, and he cites sources for this. Because in your mind, in my mind, I am borrowing $100 and I'm paying you back $150. Don't confuse me with the facts, what it says in the document, the mechanics that somehow it's not called Ribbis. As far as I know, I borrow $100, I owe you $150. In the mind, it's Ribbis. You're telling me this very sophisticated document which manipulates this whole transaction into something called a business, an Iska. I don't know. I'm not good at math. I got a C in college. I'm not up to snuff with this thing called Heter Iska. Just leave me alone. I'll sign the document and I'll see you later, buddy. I'll give you back your $150. I'll see you tomorrow. So according to what he's saying is that fellow borders on violation of an Isser Doiraisa of Ribbis Doiraisa because he has no clue what's going on in his mind. I'm borrowing with Ribbis. So you gotta know what's going on. How does it work? So let's have a little background. The Gemara already talks about this thing called an Iska. Okay, the Gemara doesn't talk about what we call a Heter Iska, but the Gemara's idea is as follows. You take a loan, I have a loan. I am gonna borrow from you $100. A lender is giving a borrow. What you basically do is you take the loan and you divide the $100 into two parts. You split it. 50-50. $50 is an interest-free loan. I'm borrowing $50. I'm going to pay you back exactly $50, not one penny more. So there's no interest. It's a loan. We want to preserve. Chazal were very concerned that you should preserve. For some reason, there's a lot of psychology. There's a lot of psychology behind this. Behind. It's a very good case study for a PhD doctor to understand the psychology behind Heter Iska, the psychology. Because there are many things you can do to avoid the problem. A lot of legal, once you see all the tricks, once you know all the tricks, you can really exploit them to the extreme. But that's not what we do. We don't exploit them to the extreme. We follow a certain rules, which are still very bizarre. But why this and not that? But in any event, you take the $100, you split it. $50 is an interest-free loan, period. I borrow $50, I'm going to pay you back exactly $50, not one penny more. Now, the other $50 is not a loan. It's a pikadon, meaning that it's your money. It's your money, it's not my money. I'm going to take that $50, I'm going to make an investment. I'm going to invest it for you. Now, but while I'm investing it for you, I'm going to take the other $50 that was a loan. I'm also going to invest it for me. But let's clarify. The other $50, I'm going to take the $50 and I'm going to invest in stocks for argument's sake. There's a certain stock. I'm going to invest in the product. I'm going to use it as seed money for a startup. But it's not my money. That's your money. It's not on my name. It's on your name. I'm just your worker. I'm your worker. And I'm going to put it into a certain investment. And I'm going to go look at the investment, let's say for 30 days later. If the stock goes up, we're going to sell. I'm going to take that money, both the principal and the profit, and give it back to you. It's all yours. Now, the other $50, which was an interest-free loan, I happen to do the same thing with it. I happen to take that money which I borrowed, I put it in the same business same stocks, and it went up in value. It's now worth a lot of money. All of that profit, the profit, I keep for myself. It's my money. The principal of $50, I give back to you. So at the end of the day, everyone has won. Oh, we're getting that. Very good. Excellent. That's the problem with this. With this, we have to go through the steps. So what's the problem? What, and then, and assuming that this investment goes up, everyone's a winner. Because $50 I borrowed. I invested it. Wow, it went all the way up. The profits I kept for myself. The principal I gave back as an interest-free loan. No ribbis. It was a loan. I gave him back the money. The other $50 I never borrowed. It was never on my name. It was his money. His money. Nothing to do with me. I took that money. I put it over here in an investment in stocks. It went up. It was profit. I took the principal. I took the profits and gave it back to him. It was all his money. So when the day is over, I gave him, he gave me $100. And let's say for argument's sake, from this $100, there's $200. He got $150 back. He got back his money. The principal, there was a $50 principal that was his, which I invested, which went up to $100. He got back $100. And then there was, I borrowed another $50, which I gave him back, so I gave him back that $50. He has in his pocket when the day is over $150. And I have in my pocket $50. Everyone is happy. There was no ribbis. That's the classic case of heter iska. We want there to be a possibility that this fellow is going to get back more money than what he gives me. If I would borrow from him $100 and I would invest all the money myself and make profit and then give him back $150, that would be ribbis deoiraisa. Because I'm borrowing $100 and I'm giving back $150. So instead, we're going to take the $100, we're going to split it, $50 loan. $50 is your money. It's always your money. I'm your worker. I'm going to invest your money. The money, the profit goes up. So the $50 of yours that went up in value to $100, here you go. Take it back. And the other $50 that you gave me, that was a loan. So that went up to $100. I'm not giving you interest. I'll give you back your $50. I keep $50 profit from that other part. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I have in my pocket $50. You got back $150. You only lent me originally. You only gave me originally $100. You're now getting back $150. I'm keeping my pocket $50.
But no fixed return.
Now, so there are two problems over here. There are two major problems. Number one, this itself is ribbis deoraisa. Why is this ribbis deoraisa? In addition to me giving you back the $50 that you lent, we have $100 and we split it. $50 interest-free loan and $50 I'm going to be your worker. I'm going to be your shtickingle, right? I'm going to manage your funds. And now when everything matures, I give you back the $50 loan. I didn't give you back just $50. I did you a service. I managed your money. Do you know how much it costs to hire a money manager? I managed your money. You gave me $50. You gave me $50 as $50 to invest for you. I took your money. I put it in this mutual fund. And I watched it. I sold it. And I gave it back to you. I did you a toiva. I did you a service. They charge out there in the world, they charge a lot of money to do this, to manage someone else's money. Why am I doing this for you? Out of the goodness of my heart, I love you so much. I'm only doing this for you because you did me a favor. What is the favor? You lent me $50 and I paid you back $50. So I paid you back $50 plus I provided a service for you. Is that not the ultimate ribbis? I've taken from you $50 and I've given you back $50 plus a service. That's ribbis deraisa. So that's a very big problem. So how do you avoid? Very easy to avoid that problem. The way you avoid that problem is that the lender has to pay me a dollar. Has to pay me for my service. So basically, instead of giving him back $50, I'm going to give him really back $49. Because he must pay me at least a token, a quarter, a dollar for my service of managing his money. Okay, so that's how we avoid problem number one. Now, the major problem is, everything I've told you over here now, it was all very fine and good if the stocks go up. But what happens if I borrow from this fellow $100 and we break it up? $50 a loan, interest-free, $50, I'm your money manager. And then we put it into a stock, and the stock crashes. And it's worth zero. Zero. So what happens? I borrowed $50. I'm giving you back $50. I have nothing else. What about what I lost $50. I borrowed $50. I invested it. It's worth zero. Nope. What about the other $50? It's your problem. So I'll give you back the $50. That's my problem because I borrowed money. I have to pay back the money. I have to pay $50. What about the other $50 that I was managing? Sorry, you know, there are risks. Okay, you have to always, there are always risks when it comes to money management. There's always risk when it comes to stocks. You lose. So when it turns out there was an arrangement. I'm borrowing $50. I'm going to give you back $150. Yeah, that's all very fine and good. You can make a heter iska and you can break it up in these two ways, assuming that the investment's going to succeed. But there's no guarantees. And the lender, at the end of the day, can end up not gaining $150, can end up with only $50, can lose $50. So you know what? I don't want to risk. How do you construct a loan in such a way where the lender is guaranteed to get back more money than what he gives out, even if the investment crashes? So this is a real problem. So until modern times, there was no solution. Believe it or not.
Okay. And do a fee.
What? What do you mean a fee? Okay, what do you mean a fee? What do you mean a fee? The fee only takes care of the problem that if the investment succeeds. In the event that the investment succeeds, so I'm giving you back not just the loan, the $50 interest-free loan, I'm giving you back your principal, I'm doing a service for you. So the management fee just takes away the problem, it should not be called ribis derice if everything goes according to plan. If everything goes according to plan, there is still a problem. There are two problems. Number one, the problem is if everything goes according to plan, I invest $100 and now I have $200 and I give him back the money, $150, it's still a ribis d'oraisa. Because when I give him back the $50 that was an interest-free loan, I didn't just give him back $50, I provided a service. I borrowed $50 and I gave back $50 plus a service of money management. That's ribis d'oraisa.
So, money management.
Surely, if you give back in return more than what you take, even if it's not money, pleasure, benefit, any benefit that comes to the lender, even if it's not cash, I borrow $50 cash and I return you $50 cash plus a lavish thank you. We learned this yesterday. Plus a lavish thank you. That's ribis. A present. I give you a nice present. I say thank you with more. I go overboard. That's ribis d'oraisa. That's ribis.
You call it a wage.
So where's the wage? Who gave me the wage? Where's the wage?
You're thinking of
what wage? Huh? What wage? Okay, running out of time. Here's the other problem. So the other problem is, let's say things don't go according to plan. Then the lender loses. So a lender would not want to lend money on risk. How can we construct a loan where there won't be any issue, where a lender will be guaranteed to get back his money plus more, even in a situation where the investment that you do fails miserably? So there was no solution to this problem until only like 300-400 years ago. Would you believe it? There was no real heter iska. This was the heter iska of the Gemara, and the heter iska of the Gemara was not really heter iska. There were risks involved. You can go and you can borrow money, and you can promise, I'm going to pay you back $150, provided everything goes according to plan. But if things aren't going according to plan, you're only going to get back a guaranteed $50.
So maybe that's why it was a good heter iska.
Yeah, that's why it was, exactly. Exactly, it's correct, that is correct. But the society changed, and there was a very great need in order to stimulate the economy, especially among Jews, that there be loans. And no one's going to give a loan unless they're going to guarantee to get back more money. That's the way the world works today, okay? And that the world changed where there was a demand for guarantees. And the old heter iska, it's too risky. It's not going to work. So along came the Truma Sadeshen with this brilliant solution, which he wrote is too controversial to put into use. And he didn't say la halacha, but it was adapted very quickly, and that is, there's a clause in the Heter Iska that says, the only time I'm investing your money, if I'm investing your money, when I invest your money, let's say I put in a stock in a mutual fund, and the mutual fund goes out of business. So I say to the lender, too bad, you're tough luck. The investor will say to me, no, not my tough luck. You are a poshea. I gave you $50 to invest. It was my money. If you would have read the New York Times financial column, you would have seen that this is the stupidest thing you could have done to invest in this stock. You're a tippish. It's a foolish thing. And if that would indeed be true, then he's right. You're a poshea. If you're a poshea and you lose all of this guy's money, you're going to pay him back. You have to pay the guy back. That's the halacha. I'm only allowed to say to the fellow, too bad for you, too bad for you, if I acted responsibly. But if I acted in a negligent way, then you are obligated to give him back the money no matter what.
What about
now, that's the second problem. That became a bigger chiddush, right? So therefore, what did the Truma Sadeshen do? He said he put a clause. The clause is that by default, if I'm giving you money to invest, by default, I'm assuming that you're a responsible person. If you lose the money, automatically there's an assumption that you were negligent. Unless you are willing to swear, to take a shavua, an oath, with a sefer Torah in front of the Aron HaKodesh, and accept upon yourself a curse, serious business, that you were not poishaya. You were not negligent in how you invested my money. And this guy won a Nobel Prize for, they don't have a Nobel Prize for economics. But if there would be a Nobel Prize for economics, if there would, what?
There is.
I'm sorry. For mathematics, I'm sorry. I'm a fool, that's right. Of course, the Lord. He got the from person, what's his name? Eretz Yisrael.
Alman, right,
of course. My father always used to predict, right? I'm talking about mathematics. So this guy won the Nobel Prize in economics. This guy is a brilliant guy. He knew what he was doing. And now it turns out the investment, zero. The investment crashed. No fault of his own. No fault. Okay, I don't have to give you back one penny. But the clause says I have to go and make a shavua in the shul, in front with a sefer Torah in my hands, in front of the Aron HaKodesh, that says, I was not negligent. You know something? I was not negligent, but I'm not doing it. I'm not going to take a...
Both sides.
I am not. No one is willing. No one in their right mind would be willing to go take a sefer Torah in their hands. There's an escape clause. There is an escape clause.
So maybe it's millions of dollars, and you will be.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, why not? When you put it, who knows? Millions of dollars.
Okay. So they make it even stronger. Yeah, they make it. They make it even stronger, and they say that the rabbi or the chazan has to come must testify that I was not poshea. The rabbi and the chazan knows nothing about economics, so he's not going to be able to testify. You're right, there are different ways of doing it, but basically, you create a situation where there really is an escape clause to take a shavua. I'm going to make a shavua in Beis HaKnesses with the Sefer Torah, or I'm going to create a situation where the rabbi is going to testify that I was not. But theoretically, but practically speaking, is that escape clause ever possible? Is it practical? No, but it's there. It's there. And because it's there, I don't have to pay the money. But because in reality, it's very, very unlikely I'm going to take advantage of that escape clause. We're going to construct the different types. So what am I going to do at the end of the day? I invested, you gave me $100. I'm going to give you back $100. I'm going to give you back your $50. I'm going to give you back your, no, not everyone is happy. So this is what they did, the Truman Sedition says, this is very controversial. Why do you want to have it? Because this only works to get back the principle.
Right.
What about the profits? This idea, I gave you $100. I want you to invest it and to make more money. Now you're telling me you're not even getting back the principle. You're not even getting back the principle. So I have to swear. I don't want to swear. I'm only obligated to give you back your principle. I am your worker. I'm your worker. I'm not mechuyev to go give you profit. If this profit, that's it's your money. Your money did not make profit. No, you're telling me that I caused you a loss? $150. So that's not what we do. That. You're not allowed to do that. It's ribbis. So the heter iska is $50 an interest-free loan. The other $50 is going to be, I'm going to manage your money. You're afraid I'm a shamaz, I'm going to lose it. So you know what? We're going to make an escape clause that's not going to be obligated. If I lose your money, I have to swear that I lost, that I was negligent. I'm not going to be able to swear.
The clauses were just the fiction so that I could pay back $150.
Right. This technique only works the way I described it, that the lender is guaranteed to get back $100. But it doesn't guarantee he'll get back $150. So after talking to Chumas Adeshen, they upped the ante even more. You know what they said? They said, Al Pider Chasechel, the investment is so sound that it should earn a profit of 100%. So if it turns out that the profits, forget about the principle, that it not only if you not only is it guaranteed the principle, but that you don't get the profits you're expecting, 3%, 4%, again, you go to whatever, every loan, every time a bank, whatever they do over there, it's mistaver, the market, the situation in the market is such that it's very logical you should reap profits of a certain percentage. If you fail to reach the percentage of profits that we're expecting, that means you're also negligent in your money management. We don't just expect you to be a money manager not to lose money. We're expecting you to be so brilliant and you're going to make money. And if you fail in making money, you got to make a shavua. That's a stretch. That's a real, real heavy-duty stretch. The Truman Sadesha never said that. Never said you can go so far to make demands of a person with escape clauses to guarantee profit. It's one thing you want to go use escape clauses not to deflect loss. Ad kedei kach. Listen, the market is such, we expect 5% return on the investment. If you fail to do that, it means you're a shemazel. And if we have to swear, or someone has to testify that you were honest, that you did not make mistakes. And if you'll never be able, therefore it's very unlikely you'll be able to want to do that. So by default, you'll have no choice but to pay the 5%, to pay the 50, whatever the money it is. That's what we do today. Would you believe it? That's how far it goes. Oh, so now you're asking the million-dollar question. This whole heter iska only makes sense when you're borrowing money and I'm going to invest. I'm borrowing money, seed money for a startup. I'm investing in stocks, mutual funds, hedge funds, whatever you want to call these things. But let's say you're borrowing money because I have chovos. I owe money. I owe tuition. I have grocery bills. I'm not making any investments. I'm borrowing money to pay off chovos. And we're going to write a heter iska that I'm going to pay you back $150. It's a joke. You're not investing the money. So l'chayra, a heter iska should not work when you're borrowing money where it's to pay off debt. Put food on the table. When you're borrowing money for investment purposes, banks, business loans, yeah, okay, we have a... And even the loanness is a real stretch. What we do today is a real, real far stretch. So, but when it comes to paying off debts, to pay tuition, to pay bank loan, the loans, tuition, all these things, who says it should work? It's a very big problem. Halacha l'maaseh u'meikel, because it's none of your business what I do with the money. It's none of your business. I borrow the money, I take the money, I can theoretically, I can invest. Someone want to make a pshara. If the fellow who borrows money has other assets that he can invest, he can use that to pay off his debts and use this to invest, then it works. But if he has a balance of zero in the bank and has nothing else, then it's a stretch of a stretch of a stretch to make use of a heter iska. Another issue is if the person that you're borrowing the money from doesn't believe in heter iska. He's a Jew, he's an irreligious Jew, that it makes litsanis of the whole thing, and is only signing the document for business, like I don't believe in this whole thing, that only is total nonsense. Listen, if I'm only going to get the firm community, the firm clients, only going to come to you if I have a heter iska. No. The lawyer says it's safe, I'll sign the dotted line. But I don't believe in this. If someone doesn't believe in this whole technique, then some want to say that the heter iska does not work and you're in a lot of trouble. And that's why there was a very big problem in Eretz Yisrael in the early years, before the government became a little more religious, and the banks were owned by the government, and the early years of the state, where the state was primarily an irreligious entity, and they were misnagate to religion very much, much, much more so than today. So then some wanted to say that you put money in the Bank of Israel, you got a big problem if they give you interest, because even though they have a heter iska is meaningless because they don't believe in it. The people, the government who owns, the citizens, the people who own the bank, the majority shareholders, or whatever, how it works, who own the bank, they don't believe it. If you don't believe in heter iska, then heter iska cannot work for you. Today, that's not a problem anymore, because today the Medina is a religious Medina, beyond question. So today it's not an issue. Today the heter iska is a good heter iska. But in the early years, going back 70 years ago, when the country first started up, it was much more of a problem. And it's a problem today also, because today sometimes you do borrow money in business, different types of negotiations, the real estate deals, all these different, these people, you're shocked to hear what people are doing out there in the world of crazy things, and they borrow money, and all these shtick and all these crazy things they do, and some of the people they're getting the money from, they're not so ay-ay-ay, and they don't really believe in all this heter iska. And also, what's worse, sometimes the money they're giving you is not kosher money. If you borrow not kosher money, it's much better. Because milvil lehoitzanin, it turns into an abstraction. When you borrow money with interest, half the money is not abstract. The money is be'en. And if this money was gained illegally, with a questionable means, it's not so simple, you're allowed to use that money. Okay? In halacha, I know it sounds funny, but there are different types of money in halacha. When you borrow money, the money disappears. It turns into, it's not necessarily connected in halacha. It's unethical. Let's not forget about the ethics. There's ethics as well, of course. But even in halacha, it's a much more serious issue, and heter iska would not even work if the money is money that came from questionable source, because the money is be'en. The money is right here. The money is not a loan. If money is a loan, it disappears from the original source. It becomes an abstraction. If the money is not a loan, it's a business investment. You're a money manager, and now you're using this money to make profit. You're in a lot of trouble if this money came from questionables. You're always in a lot of trouble. Don't get me wrong. Unethical is unethical, but even in halacha, the legality of the heter iska is in question, and not only are you in trouble because of laws of ethics, you're also in trouble because you may have violated an iser deoraisa of ribis, because heter iska does not operate under these conditions. Okay, this is just the Rashi problem of heter iska.